As I mentioned at the beginning of our worship service, we've been studying on the book of Isaiah, started from chapter 7, and we covered chapter 9. Ellen, he preached on chapter 9 last week, and today will be chapter 11. Although we're not going to cover all the chapters, chapter 66, all really long chapters from the Old Testament, but we will see how the old prophet, like a Prophet Isaiah, was talking about Jesus Christ. There'll be a great time for us how the Old Testament is telling about Jesus Christ, learning about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Today's text is from chapter 11. That is quite a long, it's 16 verses, but I will stop reading verse 9, and I will mention verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 briefly during my message. So I'd like to encourage you to keep open your Bibles and follow along with me. Let's pray before we read the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, it's a really exciting moment for us to have another Christmas, and also very exciting for us to open the Scriptures and to know about you and your plan. Thousand years ago, how are you going to save your people? How are you going to call your people through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One? Lord, thank you so much for revealing this secret to us. All the many prophets in the Old Testament didn't understand, that we are now able to understand your holy words. Thank you for your words in our hands. Would you please enlighten our hearts today so that we will be able to understand the meaning of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that our hearts will be filled with the joy of the birth of Jesus Christ, the joy of the gospel. We're finding true hope in you, our Lord. Also, bless me as I'm going to open the Bible and read and preach from the Bible. Bless my lips and help me to glorify you and honor your name only, nothing but Jesus Christ. So we will be in your mercy and grace today. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah chapter 11 is from our Bibles and Pew Bibles. That's the ESV. We are using the ESV version. Page number is 732. This is the Word of God. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and a fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. A cow and a bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And then wind child shall put his hand on an adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We will stop here. This is the Word of God. Amen. So how do we understand chapter 11? How do we connect all the chapters from the Isaiah? Now we know, we heard about Isaiah chapter 7, historical background. There was a little bit interesting. Then Isaiah chapter 11 is known to us as the messianic prophecy, along with chapter 7 and 9, and you will see in chapter 40 and 53 and other verses from the book of Isaiah. An interesting thing is, when I read a couple of commentaries this week, the last week, I found that Only John Calvin speaks lots of Jesus Christ directly from Isaiah chapter 11. Other commentators just saying that the Messiah. And John Calvin specifically mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. Christ, 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 Christ from chapter 11. So this is a very Christ-centered chapter. And basically God is telling us about Jesus Christ from this chapter. We call the Messiah, the Anointed One, from this chapter 11. Now, interesting thing for us to see is how God reveals His secret, His salvation plan for His people through the history of His people in the Old Testament. That's very interesting. So using God's people, God reveals His secret of His salvation plan to us. So it's a great moment for us to look at God's plan. In this case, God's redemptive history is running with the southern kingdom known as Judah. We've been looking at that. So our journey to Christ during this Advent season from the book of Isaiah started actually chapter 7. Now, in the midst of Ahaz, the King Ahaz, his unfaithfulness to God, he didn't believe that. So Isaiah proclaimed God's sign for salvation through the Messiah. We know that. While everyone was looking at it, like looking for different things and earthly power and trust and faith and peace at the time, including King Ahaz, Isaiah came up and boldly declared the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, true Savior, Emmanuel. That's chapter 7, God with us. So he was trying to get his King Ahaz's attention to Christ, but he didn't understand. Since King Ahaz put his trust in Assyria, the powerful kingdom, what he had experienced was not success, not peace, but violence and war and destruction. And his trust on the power of the world and power of Assyria brought the nation total destruction. And actually, the Judah disappeared from history. Now, God's word about Assyria also came to Isaiah as well. Now, Assyria was like an arrogant, the nation is saying, I am able to conquer everything. So arrogant and pride. And because of their pride and arrogance, God brought destruction to them as well. That is chapter 9 and 10. You could read chapter 9 and 10 if you want to know more about what happened to them. Now, so Judah is gone. Assyria, chapter 9, gone. Nothing remained. Then what? No Judah. No more God's people. No more peace in the land. No more powerful nation, Assyria. The power of the world at the time. Within all kinds of chaos at the time, in disorder and disorientation and hopelessness, then Isaiah chapter 11 begins with all this kind of situation. And Isaiah chapter 11 brings us and brings to God's people a new hope. That's why Isaiah 11 is really powerful. And it starts in verse 1. It says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." If we read only just verse 1, it's kind of nonsense what Isaiah is trying to say. But if you were a Jew at the time, you would know what Isaiah exactly was talking about. Isaiah was talking about hope out of no hope. That everything was destroyed, there's no hope. The most powerful nation, like a forest, the trees covers mountain, like the forest, the strong nation was completely destroyed by God. The glory of Judah also gone, was disappeared from history. Now here at that moment, Isaiah brought a tree analogy to God's people. Now, a tree, which means a Judah and God's people, is already cut down. There's nothing remained and no branches, but only the stump. But something happened to that little tiny stump. From the stump, a shoot, which means a branch and twig, will spring. And from the root, a new branch shall grow out. Then everyone must have thought, it's done. No more Israel. No more God's people. It's finished. God abandoned us. Nothing remained, which means no hope, no new vision. No one can save us. In that situation, Isaiah saw the new hope in the nation coming. As God raised King David, as God used King David, now God declares to the nation, a new king shall come from David's kingdom. That's why it says, shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. So when they heard the name of Jesse, they immediately recognized, yes, there is something happening. There will be a great king like David on the throne of David. And on that throne, a great king, a ruler, the Messiah, will be sitting. And the Messiah was their only hope. So when they heard that news from Isaiah, they must have been thrilled. And the same thing is true for us. We are also thrilled by reading Isaiah's words in verse 1. Out of no hope, destruction, God brings a new hope. Jesus Christ is the new hope of the world. Maybe we are struggling. We feel devastated by many things happening in our lives. Life goes something wrong that we didn't expect that happening. But remember that the game has not been completed yet. The true hope is with us. The Messiah will be not like Israel's king, kings of Israel. In verse 2, Isaiah declares that it's a little bit different, totally different. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That is what Isaiah saw. The kings of Israel and kings of Judah ruled the nations and his people, their peoples, with their own wisdom and their own understanding and knowledge and power. That's what King Ahaz did. That's why they brought a total destruction to the nation. But Isaiah is saying that the Messiah will be different. He rules his people. He rules you and me with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He rules his people with the Spirit of counsel and might. He rules his people with the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. What do we need more? This is great. The concept of the Spirit is be with the Messiah is revealed in verse 2. As a great major of God's Spirit will be the Messiah. And the Messiah will rule us. And God's Spirit shall dwell on the Messiah. Therefore, logically, the Messiah's wisdom will be immeasurable. We will not be able to understand it. His understanding of God's plan will be so great and amazing. With God's wisdom and understanding, the Messiah will rule the nation, will rule his people. That is great. That's what they needed at the time, the Israelites. Not by human wisdom and experience and understanding, because they always failed. But by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God's wisdom and understanding, someone has to come and rule God's people. That is Messiah. Now here Isaiah's description of the Messiah become more powerful in the next line. The Spirit of counsel and might. Now here the word counsel appears in chapter 9 and 6. It says wonderful counselor. Talking about Jesus Christ. Now, counselor means advisor in Hebrew language. When we read the Old Testament, kings of Israel and Judah always had their advisors to rule the nations. Even King David had advisors. But now, when the Messiah comes, no more advisors needed. Because the Messiah ruled the nation with his wonderful counselor, wonderful wisdom. The Messiah is the wonderful wisdom. With the Spirit of God, the Messiah shall rule us, the rule of the world. And Isaiah added one more here after this one, might. When the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruled the nation, the world, He also will bring God's plan to the earth with God's power. Then He has the power to carry God's plan to His people. What a wonderful description. Jesus Christ comes to us, but His wisdom, God's wisdom, He comes to us. And also He comes with God's power. And no one can deny, no one can stand against. Surely the Messiah knows everything about God. Here, the next line. God will grant him the knowledge of God. We're going to talk about this one later, but it is wonderful. The Messiah shall recognize the holiness of God, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and 7 begins like this. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. If we were there when Isaiah was telling these all kinds of stories, I thought about that moment 1,000 years ago. My heart would have been beating so hard and fast to hearing all kinds of Messiah and how He would reign. And probably we will say, when if we were there, yes, we need Him, the Messiah. We need the Messiah. And Isaiah's prophecy continues in Acts 9. He proclaims how the Messiah reigns the nation. In verse 3, he says, He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. Once again, the kings of Israel and Judah judged the world and the nation, whatever they ruled, by what they saw and heard. Even we see in our days right now, the leaders of the nations judge everything by what they saw and heard. However, the Messiah will be different. Isaiah said, the Messiah will bring absolute justice and peace to the world. In verse 4, why? Because With righteousness He shall judge the poor. Now, I'm going to explain this one later, but when people see and heard, and they will judge based upon their what they see and heard, but Isaiah declares that the Messiah will judge the world with His righteousness. It doesn't mean that the Messiah would punish the poor, here in line chapter 4, there was injustice in that country for the poor and the oppressed people. So they were in great need of righteousness at the time. So Isaiah is talking about the Messiah will bring His justice through His righteousness. People needed someone who could depend or protect His people from injustice of the world. That someone is the Messiah. And verse 5 says, righteousness shall be the belt of His waist. It's all about righteousness. And the faithfulness be belt of His loins. Through His righteousness, the Messiah will bring true justice to His people. With His righteousness, the Messiah will bring judgment as well to the nation, to the wicked. That is also verse 4. And He shall strike the earth. In the Old Testament, the earth means the world. The earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of His lips. So this part is a little bit scary because God is bringing judgment. He shall kill the wicked. Now here Isaiah talks about God's condemnation, His judgment upon the wicked. That means no sinner could stand before God. No more injustice will remain in God's kingdom. And verse 4 points, the teaching of the verse 4 is not only judging and destroying and bringing condemnation to the wicked, but the point is the Messiah will also establish the principle of God's justice based on His righteousness. When I read this part, I thought about, yes, we need someone like Him for this nation. We know that no one could bring justice, but Isaiah said that the Messiah will bring the true justice to the world with His absolute power, with His absolute righteousness. True justice will stand. Therefore, His kingdom will be different. It's not like before, like Israel or Judah, but God's kingdom will be different. That kingdom is described in 6 to verse 9. That is a future kingdom. And all kinds of dangerous animals. It's interesting reading verses 6 and 9. All kinds of dangerous animals like a wolf and lion and bear and cobra will be no more harmful. It's interesting. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. So imagine that the picture, that the situation in your mind, and calf and lion live together. That's impossible, right? But it's happening. A nursing child shall play over the whole of the cobra. Then Isaiah explains why it's happening in the future. In verse 9, it's a powerful verse. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. In God's kingdom, there will be true peace. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'm going to read it to you again. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There will be no enemies, no more worries, and no pains, no wars and dispute and fight, no more injustice, no more hostility, and everything is gone. No fear, but complete peace and justice. Why? Because at that time, the Messiah ruled the nation at His holy mountain. Because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. Let's think this way. We still see lots of enemies around us. Enemies for Christians. We still see lots of bad people. And we still have lots of pains. We still fight against each other. We still have experienced injustice and lie and unfairness, unfaithfulness. We're still worrying about many things every day. Based on Isaiah's proclamation. Why? Because the earth is not full of the knowledge of God yet. Once the earth is filled with the knowledge of God, it'll be gone. So Isaiah is projecting the future kingdom of God here. When all the people know God, even all the people out there, like Jeremy and Krista is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people in Nepal, they're living in the mountain, they never heard about Jesus Christ. When they hear about Jesus Christ, when they know about God and God's salvation, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. There will be no longer evil things. They're no longer fighting each other. They shall not hurt and destroy. That kingdom is coming. And Isaiah explains it again. Why? In all my holy mountain. Because God is ruling. The Messiah is ruling the nation. We know that the symbol of God's holy mountain from the Old Testament. That means God is with His people. Emmanuel. In the future. Somehow it's happening already, but in the future, people will dwell in God's place in new heavens and earth. We read from Isaiah chapter 60 as well today. God will be with them all the time, Emmanuel. In the future, people will know about Jesus Christ. They will know that Jesus is the one who rules the universe and everything. He's a master. He's a sovereign God. In the future, people will know that God is the one who saves the world from their sins. In the future, people in the world shall be full of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is coming. So Isaiah is talking about the new heavens and earth. So we get really excited. The future kingdom of God. Jesus Christ will bring complete peace. And that is our hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And His sovereign ruling is the hope of the world. No more enemies, pains, and fight, and war, and injustice. That will be great. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The calf and the lion live together. Nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. As the waters cover the sea, people will know Jesus Christ. That time is, it's coming. And then true shalom. And shalom literally means things are supposed to be. God created things. And that's supposed to be. That is a shalom. That is a peace. God's peace be with His people in this world. That is what Isaiah is looking and proclaiming from this chapter. And Isaiah continues his powerful prophecies in chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. He goes like this. He repeats the same phrases in two times here. In verse 10 and 11, he says, In that day the Messiah will restore His people. That's teaching of chapter 1, verse 1 and 10 and 11. In that day the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will recover the remnant. In that day the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will bring His glory to the nation, to the world. In that day, Jesus Christ will be with us forever. And in verse 11, the Lord will extend, that phrase itself, the Lord will extend. In Hebrew, that means will extend, meaning is reach out and will add or will increase. Now, deeper meaning of that is to reclaim. Now, that's awesome to see that. God reclaims His people again in that day. The remnant is saying, this is my people. This is my children. In the process of reclaiming, the Old Testament teaches that when they reclaim or things or redeeming things, they said, if you want to reclaim your property, and you need to pay something in the Old Testament. You need to pay for the price to redeem something, your property, or slaveries. That's Exodus chapter 15 and 16. So we see the picture of God's salvation plan here in verse 11. God's action of redeeming, reclaiming that. This is my people. 1 Corinthians 6:20, even chapter 7:23. For you were bought with a price. Very expensive. You are very expensive because God paid, reclaimed with His Son. The Messiah gave His precious life for you and me to bring us back to God, to redeem us. God paid his son, killed his son to reclaim that you are and I am his child. That is the meaning of verse 11. The Lord will extend his hand. Just thinking of God's action in verse 11, we must have felt amazed. God's grace and his mercy should overwhelm us. His love and grace is amazing, so amazing. Then what's next? Verse 12 and 16 make us even more excited about the Messiah. The message of gospel. I'm not going to say everything in verse 12 and 16 or 4 or 5 verses here to summarize it. Here, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ will go to the world. That's verse 12. He will raise a signal for the nations. And the next one line says, from the four corners of the earth, everywhere, God's people will hear the sound of a trumpet and God's calling. And in verse 13, even 13 is even powerful. The unity of God's people, the unity of church is there. His church is found in one form. Jealousy of Ephraim shall depart. There is no more jealousy. And those who harass Judah shall be cut off. And Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. That's what happened to their history, hating each other. I'm better, you better. God loves me, God doesn't love you. God is my side, not your side. It's happened in the history of Israel, but it's actually happened in the church, these contemporary 21st century Christians as well. But in that day, we will see the unity of church. Because God is ruling. No more hating one another. No more harassing each other. At the same time, the power of God's kingdom is described in verse 14. It says, but they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against the Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. Now, simply, what verse 14 is saying is that God's kingdom will stand forever. As Isaiah already mentioned, as the water covers the sea, the earth will be and shall be full of knowledge of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the power of the gospel will conquer the world. Verse 15 and 16 is the message of hope to God's people. And Isaiah proclaims about God's great power. And God will defeat. It's not actually the Israelites or Judah. They will conquer the nations doing something like that. And verse 15 reveals that God is the one who will fight. God will defeat the enemies, and God will restore his people, and God will bring true peace and true hope to his people. Verse 16, and there will be a highway from Assyria, from the remnant, the remainder of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. Restoration. In verses 12 and 16, Isaiah talks about God's promises of deliverance, his people. God's deliverance is not a theory, but it's true. God's deliverance is not something vague hope that we don't see it, we don't feel, but it's true hope. The Messiah is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. In Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, Isaiah said, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. as Christmas approaches a few days later, we are reminded of God's promises again and again. God's salvation plan, His promise of sending His Son, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Wonderful Counselor, who is Mighty God, and who is Everlasting Father, who is Prince of Peace. And Isaiah also said, chapter 7 and verse 14, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus also said to his disciples, Matthew 28:20, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a great time force matching puzzles here from Old Testament to the New Testament. What Isaiah saw and what Jesus Christ said. If we see the world right now, if we see things of the world right now, what we see is only dark places. Looks like there is no hope. Maybe no future. We're wondering about what comes next. Because we see full of sins and hatred and lie, murder and war and fighting. Now here, book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, helps God's people to see the real things that the world and people in the world do not know and do not see. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. Jesus Christ was born. And he was born to give us the new hope, true hope in the midst of hopelessness and despair. And Jesus Christ was born to rule the world with his spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, mighty, and knowledge. And Jesus Christ was born to redeem you and me from our sins. Now we are called to be His people. We are called to worship Him again and again, to be reminded of His promises here at His holy place. We are called to be full of knowledge of the Lord. That's a great thing, knowing Christ, knowing God. As the water covers the sea, that will be great. God's redemption, His salvation history continues until Jesus Christ returns. In that day, God will complete His work. God will completely restore the world. In that day, God will finish up His salvation story. Therefore, brothers and sisters, don't be distracted this time. Don't be discouraged by the things that are happening in the world. Just wait. Wait for the Messiah who already came to the world and ascended to heaven. Be with God right now. But He will surely come again. And Jesus Christ is hope of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this great passage from the book of Isaiah. Thank you so much for revealing your great plan to prophet Isaiah. Lord, would you please help us to have that excitement like Isaiah had in his heart, so that we can carry this excitement to the world and to the people. So to let people know that who is the real king who rules this nation and the world. Jesus Christ is true hope to everyone, even to us. Help us, Lord. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.